What the fuck is up, world? Biali Tlaltik Bak. We back in this bitch. Another podcast for that ass. Another grito, sea dicho. Coming about 10-ish or so days since my last podcast. I don't even remember what the fuck the last podcast was about. I think maybe Jung. I don't fucking know, dog. Your boy's just floating through space at the moment, enjoying life, vibing, practicing gratitude, most importantly, thankful for the fucking blessings and the opportunity that we have to still be fucking podcasting, to still be listening to these motherfucking podcasts, to be waking up early in the morning to hit the weights, to be fucking hitting the mats for some jujitsu, to be fucking surrounded by family, friends, and loved ones. Gratitude, homie, just practicing gratitude every day on the daily, you know what I mean? Trying to be better at it than I personally have been in the past. And I hope that it's something, you know, that inspires you, hopefully, to do the same. I say this because, you know, today's the anniversary, dog. Today is the 1-year anniversary of my brother's passing. What the fuck, right? How quickly time fucking flies by. I read an article that says this motherfucker gets faster and faster as we get older and older. And your boy at 35 years old is certainly starting to feel it, okay? Whatever the case, shout out to my brother, Ivan Cesar Ceniceros, El Ivan. Right, the only other ice motherfucking nice that I will ever recognize, okay? It's 1 year, homie. 1 year since he transitioned to the Mictlan. Ain't that about a motherfucker, right? And in that 1 year, I've tried to fucking, you know, deal with the grief. And one of the ways that has been so is by just fucking practicing gratitude. Living for Ivan, dog. Appreciating the fucking shit that we have right now before it's too fucking late. You know what I mean? Something that I didn't fucking do when he was around and I wish that I had. But rather than fucking lay around moping and shit, fucking regretting shit that I can't change, amor fati, baby. We take the fucking lessons and we keep it fucking moving, right? So what's good, homie? I see you, okay? If you're listening to this shit, just know that I appreciate the fuck out of you, okay? And yeah, let's just get back into it, homie. On another positive note, your boy got the OG underscore Ice Nice back, right? The OG underscore Ice Nice 13 back. I guess the gram only fucking a little slap on the wrist, okay? I was a little slap on the wrist. They took my shit away. But it's back. For how long? Who the fuck knows? But it's there right now, okay? So I'm thankful for that. And if you haven't already, go ahead and feel free to follow your boy there. You know I'm going to be fucking chopping and screwing these motherfuckers up and posting them up there as soon as I get a chance, right? Some quick formalities out of the way. More so the shout-outs, dog. Shout-out to every single motherfucking last one of you listening to this shit, okay? There's no point in listing you out individually. Just know that if you're listening to this, I appreciate the fuck out of you, homie, for reals. Yes? All right, dog. Let's get into it. We're picking up on some prison motherfucking planet, baby. Finally, the follow-up to the fucking Allison McDowell podcast on human capital. It's been about 6 months coming, okay? And in those 6 months, just more and more of what has been fucking talked about through this fucking whole human capital and prison planet bullshit has only come further true. So it's like just perfect timing, dog. Okay. And also, you know, as I mentioned, this type of shit, it's only conspiratorial, dog, if we don't follow the paperwork. Okay. Me personally, I find this to be more most prevalent in philosophy and rhetoric for sure. Right. Like there's a lot of shit that we talk about, bro, in the advanced study of both fields, shit that is committed like to academic journals and established as part of the canon. Right. That most people who have never studied philosophy or ethics, you just might scoff at for being outlandish and conspiratorial. But like I've mentioned before, that shit is actually mad fucking philosophical, dog. Mad rhetorical, okay? And this has perhaps been one of the greatest points that I've tried to convey throughout this entire Hood Philosophy project, whether actively or passively. And that is that, again, it only sounds conspiratorial if you aren't familiar with the ideas that are being discussed. So in this particular instance, the idea is of how humans exist in a quote unquote prison of sorts, where we're being held in check by complex apparatuses that serve to extract vital resources from us, whether they be money, energy, and so on, okay? For the explicit benefit of a select group of people in power, the masters of mankind, if you will, to use the language of Noam Chomsky. Now, obviously, this sounds like that New World Order Illuminati shit that we're all programmed to scoff at. But again, the truth is that programming is ensuing and rather the ensuing scoffing is itself a byproduct of the very extraction of resources that I'm talking about, homie. So in this case, it's ideas that are, you know, placed in our head from youth designed rather to keep people from questioning this type of shit, and thus ensuring that their hustle, the fucking the reptilians, right over at Illuminati headquarters, this kind of shit is fucking put into our heads by those motherfuckers and their little foot soldiers to ensure that their little hustle continues unabated, dog. And as I was talking about in the previous episode on Prison Planet by Allison McDowell, again, that's exactly what's going on with this shit, right? As we move further into the technological age, our data and information is being extracted from our bodies in an effort to make a select group of people even more obscenely fucking wealthy than they already are. Motherfuck Jack Dorsey, dog, for reals, okay? His whole beef with fucking Ethereum, like, he could fuck off for all I care, right? You've already got all the money, homie. You're already a multi-billionaire, and he still wants more. They're still trying to extract more. And he's just one of many of those fucking reptilians over at Silicon Valley doing this shit, dog. And again, this ain't conspiratorial, homie. This ain't conspiracy. This is a basic understanding of how capitalism works and what is possible. You know, both good and bad under such an economic system. Where the conspiracy could, you know, potentially enter the mix is the intersection of power, money, and human nature, like I've talked about before. Where they meet, that's where the conspiracy can fucking come into play, right? But again, much of that itself can be explained away by simple malice or incompetence. I'm not really worried about with those fucking particular examples, you know? The ones that are easily explained away by fucking malice or incompetence. I'm worried with the ones that are clearly fucking proper conspiracies, dog. Namely, those with a covert agenda that is being implanted into our minds to promote a certain outcome, okay? And for McDowell, this is exactly what's happening with the continued technologization, there you go, and commodification of the world that we're living in. So when I say shit like this is fucking philosophical, dog, this is like an existential twist, for example. What I mean by this is like, this is clearly shit that is going on, okay? And it's fucked up on an existential level because, you know, we're meant to be here on this earth, it seems like, to be fucking dynamic elements, right? Or to be this dynamic force, okay? That is powered by the human spirit to experience fucking life, you know what I'm saying? And this kind of fucking system, that this kind of experience is just not possible under capitalism, dog, and the current technological push because, you know, we're being used for our fucking energy, our vitality is being used to continue to power this fucking financial and political machine that we're all beholden to, right? And again, it sounds conspiratorial at first until we start to, you know, we start to research the way much of our energy is being siphoned off by these motherfuckers, if you will. And part of this human capital shit is by way of our identity, specifically through technologies, right? And that's where the whole rhetoric shit comes into play, dog, because, you know, that's one of the whole things about rhetoric is the art of persuasion. So we're starting to talk about how these motherfuckers persuade us basically to fucking do their bidding. So in going back to the conversation that McDowell mentions, she doesn't explicitly get into the detail in the way that our personal data is being mined, for instance, for financial gain. And a lot of this, I believe, is due to the relative lack of awareness of just how deeply the relationship between the fucking quote unquote culture industry and our own personal identities truly is, right? And I generally do believe, dog, that a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're people, dog. And as people, we like to fancy ourselves as unique individuals, okay? And, you know, in doing so, we generally tend to dismiss or outright fucking ignore the idea that we're being subliminally fucking influenced in such a way where we don't really act as an individual so much as a pawn for an external person or entity. And of course, the reason here being is because, as we've already started to discuss with Jung, the ego is fragile as fuck, boy. And the last thing that we want to consider is that this quote unquote self that we've identified with our entire lives, this self that we believe to be our own creation and uniquely our own, really is nothing more than a fucking byproduct of capitalism. Like, that's a fucking crushing realization to come to. You know what I'm saying? Now, to be fair, I have noticed memes that are popping up referencing people downloading their entire personality from like movies and shit. So people are aware of it. We're aware of it subliminally, and it's starting to make way through the memetic fucking world. You know what I'm saying? Regardless, a lot of this is unquestionably a part of that shit I was talking about before, about how easily many quote unquote conspiracies can be explained away by simple philosophical analysis,
Like, nah, dog, this isn't a conspiracy. This is actually fucking happening with marketing, for example. Like, they're doing this. They have whole classes. They'll teach it to you. Just because you've never taken a marketing class, just because you've never taken an ethics class, or rather a rhetoric class, doesn't mean that that shit is conspiratorial. It just means that you got to step your fucking game up, homie, and fucking educate yourself to the ways in which we're being fucking hustled on a daily basis, right? So in this particular case, it's you do so by fucking, you know, looking into this analysis, if you will, between the relationship of rhetoric and identity, right? Now, this sounds strange at first, dog, because most consider rhetoric to be associated just with like persuasion and interpretation. But again, the field of rhetoric is so much richer than just those two facets, dog. In fact, honestly, I like to argue that one of the most important works of rhetoric is that which, you know, it predates philosophy, like its invention. The idea that rhetoric is an act of invention, like you're creating new ideas and shit, you know what I mean? And then those ideas somehow, like in this weird fucking gray space, go from being rhetoric to philosophy. And this is kind of like how the identity, the whole culture industry philosophy from the critical theorists, I argue at least, all came to be, right? People started realizing the relationship between like rhetoric, for instance, and what it does in service to identity formation, right? And by identity formation, I mean like who we are, who we wish to be, and the amount of control that we have over either. Now, a lot of this genuinely depends on not only our own personal rhetorical skill, but that of others as well. Like, motherfuck, dog. Motherfuck these fake woke, progressive, liberal fuckheads, dog. Staying woke is so much more than just fucking identity politics, dog. It's about understanding that there are skills available to everyone that can be used to further interests and agendas. And if you fucking aren't aware of them, dog, 10 times out of fucking 9, they're going to be used against you for the benefit of those who are aware of them and are using them to advance their agendas, their interests, right? The most obvious of these being logical fallacies. That's one thing that I always harp on in my introduction to philosophy class, dog, is fucking logical fallacies, because how prominent they are in much daily discourse, that motherfuckers can come stand up in front of an audience and, you know, profess to be telling the truth with a capital T, if you will. But realistically, these motherfuckers are just using logical fallacies to fucking hoodwink motherfuckers and get them, you know, stir up emotions that have already been planted within them. And then, you know, because those emotions have been stirred, they liken this and associate it with the fucking quote unquote truth, capital T truth, right? And they feel like, yeah, we fucking gotta build that wall, right? Because I'm a unique individual and I definitely feel this way because I've never been told in my life that, you know, we're gonna have to fucking have a secure border to keep all the brown people out by no one or anything. At which case you're like, shut the fuck up, dog. You've been brainwashed your entire life to believe this by fucking politics, by the news, by your own fucking education system. They schools, you know what I mean? And just because someone's fucking picking up on that programming and saying all the right buzzwords to fucking stimulate your fucking reaction doesn't mean that it's the fucking truth. It means that you just got fucking bamboozled, dog. You've been fucking, you've been hoodwinked, right? And, you know, the same is true when it comes to fucking all sorts of different ideas out there in the world, whether they be conspiratorial or otherwise, right? This is basically what this whole relationship between rhetoric and identity is trying to tell us, right? It's telling us like, dog, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is a basic understanding that while, you know, the basic understanding of while most people are, you know, quote unquote good for the most part, right? There's unquestionably a population, dog, that isn't. There is unquestionably a population that is seeking power and control as, you know, regardless of the means necessary for them to attain both. You know what I'm saying? And when you add capitalism into that mix, the number is only further fucking compounded, dog, because now it ain't even about like the blatant desire for power and control. It's about the simple desire for advertisers, dog, for instance, to fucking put food on the table just like everyone else. Like the masters of mankind, like, yeah, they're using the rhetoric in order to advance their interests. You know what I'm saying? But advertisers exist in fucking capitalism too. And we can sit here and be like, man, motherfuck you guys. You guys are fucking part of the machine. You're doing the work of the fucking, you know, you're doing the work of the bad guys, et cetera, or quote unquote. And, you know, try to guilt them into fucking maybe changing their majors. The fact of the matter is, dog, they're just A, trying to survive in a capitalist world like the rest of us. And B, there's nothing keeping you or me from becoming aware of all the fucking tips and tricks that they're using to fucking deceive us. Like that's, we have the access to the knowledge just like they do, is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Anyways, Perhaps the most important place to begin the discussion is by first, again, analyzing the relationship even more deeply now between language and identity, okay? Specifically, the relationship between ourselves and the words and stories we use to represent those selves, right? I've told you before, I'll say it again. The truth about stories is they're all we fucking got, dog. Stories comprised of words, right? So we gotta analyze the relationship between who we believe we are and the relationship they have with the words that we use to communicate to ourselves and others about who we think this self is, right? And it's this interdependence, dog, between language and identity, between our ability to use language as a means of representing our identity to others, and in turn, interpret that interpretation of themselves, that makes rhetoric such a powerful tool for the understanding, forming, and preserving, ultimately, of identity. Now, that's not to say that identity is nothing but language, because obviously there's like extra verbal shit about ourselves and existence as a whole, you know, like consciousness that can't be accounted for. Although some people will argue that language is consciousness, right? But for now, like what I'm trying to say is that, you know, by asserting the relationship between identity on one hand and language and consciousness on the other, we move away from the rigid and ancient philosophical idea of identity as this quote unquote essence, and into like these new frontiers, bro. And you know, this is an old way, to be fair, of understanding identity. And it basically states that we as humans, like every fucking other thing in existence, has a quote unquote essential feature that mark us as either belonging to a certain category or being excluded from that group, right? And that possession of these essential features constitutes membership into those groups, right? So the ancient understanding of human essence ranged between like souls and angels to fucking playthings and pineal glands, dog. And now that quest to target the human essence, it's fucking branched off, yo, into two distinct directions, all right? And the first camp, they've set off to pursue a property, if you will, or a set of properties that make us uniquely human, like our DNA. And the second set, they've gone on to try to discover a property that makes us part of a larger class, you know, like a soul, a rational being, etc., right? Now, what's interesting about this is that it leads to a paradox where our quote-unquote essence, right, it names something that makes us identical with other members of a particular group, or that which makes us unlike, again, members of a group, okay? So the paradox comes into play where, like in the first case, the most important aspects of our identity rests outside of us, okay? Like who you are as a person, that doesn't rest within you. And in the second part of the paradox, it's said to rest entirely within ourselves. Anyways, another important part in this rhetoric, it lies outside the scope of this episode, again, and that's invention, right? But again, it basically allows the freedom, if you will, and the creativity to overcome this impasse where we're unable to fucking determine whether our identity is external to us or internal to us, right? Like if there's an essential, like for instance, if I were to cut you open, I could point to you exactly where your liver, lungs, and hearts are. But if I were to try to do the same and point to you where your heart or your soul rather is, or your fucking identity, where your fucking consciousness is, that's a whole ass other problem, right? And that's kind of the idea that, you know, the paradox that emerges here with this trouble of fucking, you know, rhetoric and the language relationship between identity, okay? Now, but of course, that is, again, where invention would come in and try to, like, navigate us out of there. But again, this is not a podcast on fucking invention, dog. This is a podcast on fucking prison planet, baby, okay? And encircling back to how it relates to this, in rhetoric, identity isn't ever reduced to a quote-unquote set of traits, if you will, or a single quality that permanently marks us, if you will, like a dictionary, right? Instead, it's seen more of a succession of acts, dog, like a work of progress, okay? And at the heart of this project is the ongoing struggle between our need to identify and affiliate with other people and ideas, if you will, and the ensuing need to preserve as much control as possible over the influence both have over us, right? The desire to remain an individual, essentially. Now, these acts and the role they play in identity formation, again, are themselves divided into three separate parts. They're known as the given, the ready-made, and the constructed. And this is an idea that, you know, deeply philosophical, dog. You can go all the way through philosophy with the ancient Greeks, right? The idea that the soul was divided into like passions, reason, and spirit. Or you could just keep it fucking psychoanalytical, like we've just been talking about in the previous episode, and, you know, kick it with Freud with his ideas of how the ego itself, the psyche, was divided into the id, the ego, and the superego, right? Whatever the case, the point here is that this is something that, as philosophers, we've always kind of circled around the idea of how this, you know, identity itself can be divided into three separate parts. And in this particular case, we're talking about the ready-made, again, the constructed, and the given, right? Now, to be clear, these divisions of identity, they overlap and they complement one another. They're not rigid. They're not fucking defined. You know what I mean? So much so that sometimes it's difficult to say exactly where one ends and the other begins. Furthermore, this ready-made itself, it's divided into its own tripartite of workplace ready-mades, consumer ready-mades, and perhaps most importantly, cultural ready-mades that we're going to examine here a little bit deeper, okay? Because of how deeply influential it is with psychoanalysis and, you know, just ultimately the conspiracy theory shit that I'll talk about next week, right? But for now, the most common feature of what is known as the given identity, that's just, again, this is like some fucking, some Heideggerian shit, dog. It's, you know, our being, our fucking, it's our thrownness type shit, like just being, right? It's our genetics, our family structure, the time and place, the circumstances of our birth, and the past and so on. Like that shit that's just given to us. You know what I'm saying? Again, we'll see a lot of correlation between these ideas, whether they be fucking rhetoric, philosophy, psychology. It's not by accident, dog. They're all fucking intimately related. You know what I'm saying? Different words to explain the same ideas. If only we could fucking get together and bridge this fucking waterless moat, if you will, to use the language of the philosopher Anthony Appiah, and fucking integrate philosophy, rhetoric, psychology, etc., into this grand fucking system that, you know, would allow us to be able to develop these ideas that we're fucking, you know, all talking about further, right? Instead of being bogged down by the time that it takes for people to write about them separately, other people to read about them and make the connections and then try to, you know, fucking put them forward. Like that's very time consuming, right? Anyways, as for the ready-made, this includes those identities that we have not ourselves constructed, those which have been prefabricated, if you will, by others and are on offer through like the workplace, are on display rather, through, you know, ourselves like in the workplace, the marketplace, and just any other cultural spaces that we occupy, right? What makes these ready-made so unique is they conserve our interests to an extent, but their chief purpose is to serve the interests of those who construct and exploit them ultimately, okay? The people who employ us, the people who sell us shit, though that is who is interested in influencing and shaping the priorities of our larger culture, okay? And us by proxy. So they generally serve their interest, okay? Like, yeah, it can serve your interest a little bit if you use them to try to work with you or for your benefit, but ultimately they're serving greater interest. Like, I think here a lot about the stock market. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking making bullshit ass money right now because of the fucking, you know, of the recession that we're supposedly not in. But I'm not making fucking buku billionaire 1% type money. Like, those motherfuckers are the big, they're the whales. You know what I mean? And I know that they're making that money off my fucking expense. You know what I mean? And I try to, you know, I try to mediate that a little bit by fucking, you know, myself being involved in the stock market. But ultimately, I know like this is not serving my interest, dog. This is serving the interests of other people who are far more fucking powerful than I am. And, you know, I'm just along for the ride, basically. And that's kind of how these ready-made fucking identities work. And I'll talk about it here a little bit more, right, in detail. But for now, I'll move on to this constructed identity. And that is that which, you know, we create based on the available models and within the limits of that which we've been given. So again, more of this like thrownness, facticity type shit. You find yourself in, you know, thrown into a certain time and space, and then you just kind of work with it to your advantage the best that you can, right? In this particular case, we construct ourselves based on the available models that, you know, are given to us. So like I'll always tell this to my students in the introduction to philosophy class, like, dog, are you sure you're a Christian? Or is it possible that you were just born into a time when Christianity was prominent? You know what I mean? And you've formed your identity based off what was available to you at that moment, namely Christianity, right? And to be fair to this part is that you can also reject certain models, right, and accept others, and even modify the ones that we've been given, right? That's not a problem. The point of identifying and learning about these is so that we may ideally be able to form and defend our own identity, which is actually a lot more difficult than we're fucking led to believe, dog. And that's where this whole fucking prison planet shit comes into play, because we start to realize, you know, just how ununique and unindividual, how inauthentic the majority of us truly are, how most of us are realistically only fucking advancing the interests of other people through our very fucking actions. We've basically been hijacked by parasites, dog. You know, like that cordyceps parasite that makes fucking grasshoppers jump into water, that makes rats be attracted to fucking cats, etc. Like, that's us. And I'll talk about that here a little bit deeper, right? Shortly. But for now, we got to situate it a little bit further and understand that this all comes to a head, dog, in the industrial age, when people went from being self-sufficient rural folk to fucking city-dwelling industrialists who were caught up in the capitalist machine, okay? And long story short is that advertising is invented and used to deliver ideas that advertisers thought people should be, or like what they thought people should be in the modern workforce, for example, how they thought city people should act, for instance, okay? They fucking create these magazines and they put those ideas in them and then they fucking sell them to everybody in the cities. And then in turn, you get the motherfuckers who read this and say, oh, this is what a city dweller is supposed to act like. This is the proper way to engage in a workplace environment, right? And the reason why is because all this shit, dog, it came on the heels of the most bloody, strike-torn period of American labor history, okay? So, you know, you've never done any research onto the labor strikes here in America, like, they're pretty gangster, dog, right? And corporations, they sought to avoid this ever happening again by introducing what they refer to as a softer, more kinder way of persuading employees to be more productive and less belligerent. Now, again, this is that philosophical shit, dog. Like, this is not conspiracy. We've already seen this idea introduced before in the episodes that I've done on Foucault, the Madness and Civilization and the Carceral Archipelago, right? This is where, you know, we get what they refer to as the Taylorist workplace. It's named after this dude, right, who fashioned it. His name was Frederick Taylor. And he placed an emphasis, dog, on employee docility, an emphasis on employee cooperativeness. And perhaps most importantly, he placed an emphasis and a strong importance on the identification of the employee with the company in order to help ease many of the tensions that workers and managers felt during this fucking initial labor strike time in the United States history, okay? So what this whole softer, more docile approach means then is, like, if a worker was ever anxious about their place in the company, all they had to do was, you know, absorb this fucking model of behavior, and then they could just fit in, essentially, right? Like, just basically give up any notion of your individuality in order to ensure that you fit in a system that is going to provide you with the resources necessary to ensure that you have food, water, shelter, safety, medical care, because our healthcare is tied up to our fucking jobs in this country, etc. Or basically all the basic shit that humans need to survive. Of course, there's going to be anxiety if, you know, you're constantly on edge wondering if that's going to be taken away from you because of your fucking behavior in the workplace, to which this fucking Taylorist model was made that said, don't worry about that. Just act like this the way we want you to, and you won't have to fucking worry about it because you'll fit right in, right? It's a fucking crazy idea, bro. And honestly, it's like, this shit right here is why I'm not really sympathetic to the idea that shit like public schools and mass media are what's responsible for the submissiveness that we currently seem to be experiencing. Like, you know, with everything that happened in the past 2 years, leave it at that, so I don't fucking get, you know, already more looked at than I am. But like the submissiveness, okay? The idea that we learned that in public school, like, yeah, dog, it plays a part, no doubt. But honestly, bro, like, I'm convinced that it's much deeper than that. And that ultimately, if we really dig deep enough, we'll get to the real problem, and that is me and you. Like, we are the problem, dog. This is exactly what this Jungian philosophy was talking to us about last week. You know what I'm saying? The understanding that, yo, the emperor has no clothes, homie. And, you know, no one is really in control, right? But we're all so comfortable with how life is and, you know, how everything's going, that we're choosing to fit in, if you will, rather than bring about any actual change that may potentially disturb the fucking status quo, because we're comfortable with it, right? So again, this is like following up on that Jungian and Foucauldian shit, dog, about how the problem is just, it's always within us. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, who gives a fuck? Who needs the Illuminati when we can police ourselves, when we're doing it for ourselves? You know what I'm saying? Like, who gives a fuck about global control when you are doing the fucking bidding for them? I am doing the bidding for them, by the way, our tacit desire to fit in, if you will. Now, there's like a lot of really interesting shit here in line with like the problem of free will, namely how this all came about at the expense of individual autonomy, right? And, you know, but that's a whole other podcast. Like, we're not talking about that right now. For now, like, we're talking about how this shit influences us subliminally, okay? Like, and the basic answer is through language, dog. Like, they're using... So let me give you a little bit further, like, context here so you can situate it yourself. I've done a podcast on Project Bluebeam, multiple ones, right? And one of the things that I talked about is how, well, from the book that I was reading, is... I'm trying to see if it's here. It's here somewhere, right? But the idea was that they're introducing into our subconsciousness these ideas that they're trying to, you know, put forth by images. And, you know, it sounds mad conspiratorial until you realize, like, oh, shit, that's exactly how advertising works. You know what I mean? Like, it starts with something, like, as big as Hollyweird, and then it just trickles down to the rest of us, dog. They fucking implant just with the words they're using, the images, the symbols they're using, these fucking ideas into our subconsciousness, right? They're very value-laden, bro. They're very, you know, they're not neutral, okay? They're deeply fucking politicized. They have deep ties to the education or lack thereof of the country. They have deep ties to fucking government and bureaucrats and their desires, right? But we just observe these things and we take them in because, you know, movies happen so fast. Passing by a billboard happens so quickly. Seeing an ad on television or on social media, it happens so quickly, right? That we don't even fucking notice that it's happening, dog. But there it is, like subliminally being fucking implanted into our minds. You know what I mean? In the case of language, it's done so with, like, take the Western, the idea of, like, the rugged individual, the Western man, like, pulling himself up by their bootstraps and shit, you know what I mean? Like, they push this agenda subliminally, bro, with words like excellence and champions and accountability and brand and re-engineering, fucking stakeholders, leadership, and so on, right? And basically, what it gets to is this understanding that language, it's not neutral, homie. And it's not innocent. All these words are being used to convey ideas that maintain the status quo, which, you know, is exactly what these motherfuckers want, which is why I'm just like, bro, motherfuck a one world government. Like, stop fucking focusing on that. There's no need for it when every single fucking person on this planet thinks, feels, and values the exact same thing. Like, these conspiracy motherfuckers, you're so caught up in, like, fucking trying to overthrow the fucking Illuminati, and you don't realize that there's only that fucking type shit because of you. Like, you're the issue. I'm the issue. And if we really want to make some fucking change, it's about fucking recognizing that it's got to be authentic. Like, we got to learn to live authentic. You know what I'm saying? Instead of these fucking mindless zombies that we are. And that's where we get into the whole fucking parasitic idea. The idea that ideas... are fucking parasites. The notion that people don't think thoughts. Thoughts think people by way of the language that we've fucking inherited, by way of the visual symbols that, you know, that we've inherited from the people that come before us, okay? So, like, again, we walk around with this false sense of surety that we're convinced that, you know, we are who we are, right? That we are our true, authentic selves. But again, like, as many philosophies have reminded us, that's a delusion, dog. We're all basically the summation, nothing more than the summation of our cultural beliefs being acted out in physical form. And without conscientious reflection of this fact, again, we're essentially nothing more than fucking mindless automata, dog. Or, like how I like to refer to it, fucking zombies, dog. I always use the Cowboy fans as an example here because fuck the Cowboys first and foremost, right? And because it's funny, like, there's a lot of people in my classes, for instance, who are Cowboys fans. So it's nice to, like, just get a rise out of them. You know what I mean? But what I like to say in this particular case is, like, damn, dog, y'all motherfuckers, and just NFL fans in general, sports fans in general, fans of fucking political beliefs, etc. Like, we're all guilty of this, okay? But I use the Cowboys because it's so culturally relevant and relatable, okay? And the basic idea is, like, yo, the fucking... you've inherited this cowboy fandom, dog, just, you know, from your family, most of you. I know that was the case with me. All of my family was a fucking cowboy fan, except for my mom and my aunt. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, they push this on you. They say, like, oh, we're cowboys, fools, since a young age and all that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? And most of us, we grow up and we don't even question it. We're just like, oh, yeah, I'm a fucking Cowboys fan, right? We just keep rocking and rolling and we buy all the Cowboys gears. We watch all the fucking Cowboys games. We give them all of our fucking energy so that they can continue to survive, right? And if this idea is correct, that's basically the same as a fucking parasite, dog. The Cowboys, the idea of the Dallas Cowboys, okay? It's a living parasitic entity that is using other people's bodies to ensure its continued survival, okay? And it does this by introducing teams and concepts regarding the fucking, or terms rather, terms and concepts regarding the Dallas Cowboys, bro, that people in turn identify with and fucking reproduce because they're like, oh, fuck yeah, dog. I'm a lone cowboy out there in the Wild West. This is my fucking team. You know what I mean? This is how I feel as a person. Meanwhile, Jerry Jones is up wherever the fuck he lives and he's just laughing all the way, literally, to the fucking bank because he's got another person that is going to be used. Their body is going to be used. Again, prison fucking planet, right? Their body's going to be used. Their energy is going to be used to fucking ensure the continued survival of the giant entity that ensures that he remains a billionaire, namely the Dallas Cowboys, right? And again, it's not just football, dog. It's everything, like our religious beliefs, our political beliefs, our beliefs about identity. Like, dog, this shit's existed for thousands of years and it's managed to stay alive throughout all that time because it sinks its fucking grips into people and it lives off of our vitality, dog. Even when that fucking, the parasitic entity is fucking causing us direct harm. Like capitalism, like, bro, I fucking survive capitalism. Like, I don't simp for it. I fucking survive it. You know what I'm saying? And there's no question that one of the unfortunate parts of capitalism is that it only functions by fucking stripping the joy out of the life of other people, right? Unless they're the ones that happen to be at the tippity top, which everybody wants to be. So most people are willingly engaged in it because they think to themselves, one day I'll be the one wearing the fucking boot and enjoying life at the expense of everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a fucking crazy idea, bro, in a time of so much wealth. And, you know, you can call me a pinko, call me bastard. I don't give a fuck. Fuck capital, fuck communism too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to, you know, the basic idea is like, just let me live. I don't want to have these fucking parasitic entities fucking using me to advance their agendas, whether it's communism, capitalism, the Dallas Cowboys, Christianity, Islam, whatever. Like, I'm trying to be as authentic a human being as possible. Now, and getting back to the whole correlation between all this and fucking quote-unquote conspiratorial thinking, again, it's a double-edged sword, homie, that it cuts both ways, okay? Like, on the one hand, we have conspiratorially inclined folk who think this is all part of, again, some grand psyop to fuck with us subliminally. Now, I'm not saying it isn't, okay? All I'm saying is that it's so much easier to convince most people, especially fucking normies and blue and on folk, dog, of this when we talk about rhetoric instead of interdimensional shape-shifting fucking lizards that harvest our negative energy and fucking eat babies and shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's the art of rhetoric, is understanding, like, you're not gonna attract a lot of people talking about that kind of shit. You know what I mean? And in fact, you're gonna put a lot of people off to that idea. And the fucked up part is that it may very well be happening. But you're going about it in such a fucking awful way that you're not really helping, dog. You're hurting. You know what I'm saying? You're hurting the cause. So it's like, you gotta figure out a way to fucking, you know, deliver that message in a more digestible manner. You know what I'm saying? Like that fucking Stranger Things example where the dude's like, if you just take a shot of vodka straight up, it burns and most people don't want it, dog. But if you water it down, you know, and you make it more digestible, more people will come around and be like, oh shit, this may very well be fucking happening. You know what I'm saying? And that's where the fucking philosophy and the rhetoric come in. Like, dog, you don't need to talk about the fucking Illuminati. Talk about the bourgeoisie. Like, there's so much fucking philosophical and, you know, rhetorical precedence for this. It's already been established and inserted into the fucking collective consciousness that most people, when you say Illuminati, they'll fucking roll their eyes. But when you say bourgeoisie, which is the exact same fucking thing, they'll be like, oh yeah, dog, fuck the bourgeoisie. Fuck the 1%. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the art of rhetoric, dog. And then, to be fair, at the same time, we have these motherfuckers who insist that, like, everything that happens is all by chance, everything, okay? And that there isn't some kind of quote-unquote hidden agenda to subtly sway our opinions. To which I say, you know what, dog? You're right. Like, you're fucking right. It is absolutely not hidden in any way whatsoever. It is fucking in broad daylight, okay? It is being taught to us in colleges and universities at this very moment. Again, in both rhetoric and advertising classes, dog, right? Like, It's the occult, bro. It's fucking hidden in plain sight. Like, you're fucking right. They're not hiding it. Anyways, all this conspiratorial shit, dog, it's truly nothing more than a fucking lengthy battle that's been going on between us conspiratorial folks and them, namely the advertising motherfuckers, dog. Okay? And the weapon of choice, again, it's rhetoric, homie. And when the advertisers use it to hoodwink us, we in turn should be using it to fucking avoid being hoodwinked, right? In which case, like, the advertisers know this, bro, and they're gonna get more sophisticated about their shit, which means that we need to do the same. Like, it's a fucking constant back and forth. This is, again, like, this is why this whole Christianity in this Western world, like, the way Christians and Western, the people in the Western world view shit, got it all fucked up, dog, which I'm convinced is part of the grander conspiracy, because it's like, these motherfuckers know that Christianity and the ideal, like, the Western world, it's not gonna solve this problem. And the reason why is because in Western Christianity, like, it's a fucking, their ideology works in such a way where they're convinced that if they just try hard enough, they will defeat the quote unquote evil forever, right? And that one day everything is gonna be perfect forever without any sort of action needed on our behalf, which is just not true. And it's definitely not what the Nahua are gonna wanna say, okay? For the Nahua philosophy, for instance, they'll just be like, it's a dynamic, dog. We're one part of the dynamic and the advertisers are another part of the dynamic. And we just go battling back and forth like Dave does with, not battling, but I mean, it is battling, okay? But not to the death. It's just an understanding, like, the way the day needs the night is the way the night needs the day, and that one cannot vanquish the other because one cannot be what it is without the presence of the other, right? And, you know, when people don't feel this way, when we're not, you know, brought up to believe this kind of shit, it makes it very difficult to fucking actually get to the fucking, you know, try to make any sort of change, because we're so caught up in this idea that the only progress that is ever made is by a complete fucking outright destruction of this enemy, which is just not going to happen. It's not going to happen, dog. It's just not. Okay. That's not how reality is structured. Anyways, going back to this whole fucking, the hoodwinking and shit, right? The preferred weapon of choice. Like, you just got to ask yourself, dog, like, maybe, like, okay, yes, maybe all of reality is, all of our material lives is being fucking driven by a secret cabal of deep state motherfuckers, the masters of mankind, if you will. Or maybe, dog, it might be nothing more than one of the many fucking catastrophic results of capitalism. And you got to ask yourself, like, which one seems more likely, right? To be fair, it seems more likely that it's a fucking synthesis of the both. You have this fucking masters of mankind who are using capitalism again to their benefit. And then here we are just trying not to be fucked over, dog. Like, stay woke, fam. That's the best advice that I can give you. Just stay woke. You know what I'm saying? Because the truth is, I don't fucking know what the answer is. I'm just going off like the assumptions that I make based off the philosophy that I read. You know what I'm saying? Regardless, what I do know is that advertising motherfuckers are particularly good at the art of ingratiation, dog. Okay? And what that means is they've cut so deeply into our psyches that we don't even realize the way that they are feeding off of us. There's this dope ass show on, it's on Netflix, on Hulu right now. It's a Marvel show. And it's about, it's called Legion. Yeah, Legion, dog. Legion's pretty dope. I've only seen the first two seasons, but the idea is like this dude, they think he's a schizophrenic, but realistically, he's got a fucking parasite in his brain. You know what I mean? That's fucking with him and feeding off his energy. And like this whole time, like, he's got these crazy superpowers and this parasite is like limiting them. You know what I'm saying? And his whole life, he was like, dude, something's fucked up. Like, I'm telling you, something's wrong. And people were trying to tell him like, oh, you're just fucking a schizophrenic. They're like, you know, gaslighting him and shit. And then the whole reveal is like, you're not a schizophrenic. You have superpowers. And this was like, it's feeding off of you. That's kind of how this fucking rhetoric shit is working, is what I'm telling you with advertising. Like, they fucking have penetrated our psyche so deeply. We don't even fucking know that there's a parasite feeding off of our brains. You know what I mean? And they're fucking using that to continue their cycle, bro, to continue their hustle. You know what I mean? And like, the only way that we can overcome this is to like ask ourselves, like, damn, is this really a conspiracy? Or am I fucking being gaslit into believing that I'm not being fucked with, when realistically something as subtle as driving past a billboard is fucking with me at the most subliminal of levels? You know what I mean? But it's just like, it's strange to not fucking at least be open to the idea that maybe these motherfuckers are like, that's exactly what's happening, right? Because again, we, on the one hand, like to think that we're unique individuals and that we're not prone to this. And on the other hand, it's like, bro, it's just advertising. It's just a billboard. Like, how the fuck are they doing all of this with something as quick as a fucking as an ad on television. You know what I mean? And the answer is, these motherfuckers are good at what they do, dog. Like, what the fuck? They got us pegged down to a T, especially now with all the fucking information being extracted from us by way of social media. You know what I mean? They know everything about us, dog. They know what kind of breakfast we want. They know what kind of car we'd be more inclined to drive. They know everything about us, dog, right? This is that fucking data that these Silicon Valley fucking reptiles, that's what they want. They want to be able to do that, okay? And there's so much of it, okay? So much of that data, so much of that energy, and they'll use it to continue lining their fucking pockets, you know, so they can, you know, keep sacrificing babies and shit. I don't fucking know, right? Whatever it is that those rich motherfuckers do when they're putting masks on and fucking each other's wives. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't fucking know. I'm just guessing. I'm just saying what fucking I've been told. Anyways, the point is that most of us, we don't like to believe that this is to be true. We don't like this to be true, right? And so we reject any sort, again, of connection between our identities and something as seemingly inconsequential as the fucking car you're driving right now, right? But again, like, they have these psychographs, dog. The psychograph is like an infographic, but of our demographic rather, but of our psyches, okay? And they fucking sort us into our fucking, they sort us into like one of 32 psychological makeups and tastes, like these groups, okay? And, you know, we think that, oh shit, I'm being unique, I'm being original, I'm being a fucking authentic individual. When in reality, we're being a host to a parasite that's, you know, we've been implanted with, that's been fucking honed to a T in order for, you know, powers that are far greater than us, institutions and shit, ideas, to continue living through us. You know what I'm saying? And this is where like that whole Jungian shit really starts to kick into high gear, homie. So basically, like, the way this advertising and psychographic shit works is, again, by appealing to us in the subtlest of ways, bro, using archetypes, dog. They use fucking archetypes, bro. And that's due in part to the idea that cultural ready-mades, so going back to the cultural ready-mades, are derived from cultural myths that are transmitted in the form of narratives, icons, characters, jokes, props, memes, and so on. You know what I'm saying? Advertisers know this, bro. Advertisers know that memes, for instance, are the key to the fucking collective unconsciousness. That there's a reason why a motherfucker in El Paso, Texas can laugh at the same exact meme as a motherfucker in New York City having never met each other. Because the shared collective consciousness and the archetypes that fucking reside with all of us. You know what I'm saying? They know this, okay? And they're trying to fucking use that to deliver, to infiltrate us, essentially, right? So that they can continue doing their thing. The shit, of course, is they gotta do this fast, bro. They gotta do this fast because they know motherfuckers like you and me, we have a very short attention span, all right? And the best way to do so, again, is by fucking just tapping into shit that's already latent within our subconscious, dog. It happens so fast, bro. It happens so fast, like a blip on the screen, okay? And the next thing we know, we're trying to dress up like a fucking Harley guy, right? So that we can have this idea of being like these fucking outlaws with the freedom of the road, right? And, you know, when in reality, we're just these fucking dummies that have been hoodwinked by movies like fucking Born to Be Wild, you know what I mean? And Harley Davidson, in turn, right, fucking taps into that so that we can buy their fucking $100,000 motorcycles and shit, right? That they know we're not fucking outlaws. We're fucking 9-to-5 working stiffs and shit. And, you know, but the only way to sell those bikes is by tapping into that fucking archetype and that latent desire that many of us have. As quickly as it takes to see a fucking one scene of an ad, for instance, and then boom, that parasite has been fucking implanted in us. And the next thing we know, we're on our way to fucking the Harley Davidson dealership to pick up a fucking hog because now we want to be these outlaws and shit. You know what I'm saying? This is something, by the way, that I keep talking about it because of how prominent Chicano culture is in my life right now. It is my life. What the fuck am I talking about? But I have been thinking about like Chola culture and shit. And I've been definitely thinking a lot about fucking the Asian cholos, quote unquote cholos. Like, I know I'm talking shit about it, but it sincerely doesn't bother me, dog. In fact, like, imitation is the highest form of flattery, dog. Like, it really is flattering. You know what I'm saying? And to be fair, like, I'm guilty of it too. I put my fucking little jujitsu gi on. I go and I fucking bow in front of the mats before I enter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't come from a fucking bowing culture. I don't come from a gi wearing culture. But there I am, like a fucking asshole every fucking day wearing a gi and shit, you know what I mean? Appropriating the fuck out of Japanese culture because it's a dope martial art, you know what I'm saying? So like, I'm guilty of it too. But I do. It makes me laugh. Again, I'm not mad about it, but it makes me laugh, okay? Because you can't help but wonder how much of these fucking cholos is actually, these Asian quote-unquote cholos, is actually real, and how much of it is just predicated on advertising. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish I spoke Japanese, and I wish that I had the ability to just see like how the Japanese culture is fucking pushing this cholo culture. You know what I'm saying? And I guess perhaps the funniest part is just knowing, like, for an absolute fact, at least when it comes to the ones in Japan, that, I mean, these aren't cholos, dog. These are motherfucking, you know, businessmen with fucking retirement portfolios and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, investing portfolios and retirement plans, I should say. They fucking work in high-rise office buildings doing fucking, you know, real serious capitalism shit. You know what I mean? Like, they just LARP as cholos in their free time. And this is exactly what this fucking relationship between rhetoric and identity is trying to tell us. It's not a conspiracy, dog. They put ideas out and they fucking use us as the energy necessary to keep them alive, essentially, to advance their interests. And this, most importantly, is absolutely the crux of the episode, okay? The basic idea, dog, like just situating, you know, I'm trying to wrap this bitch up because I'm getting a little bit close to the hour long mark. And even though my last one was a motherfucker of a marathon, I appreciate the fuck if you listen through it all the way through. I'm trying to keep this one at around an hour, right? So just to like wrap it up and looking forward to the one that I got coming for next week. The basic idea, again, is that we've been hijacked, homie, by these parasites who are using us and our potential, dog. The potential one shot that we have at life, okay? The one chance that we have to lead a unique, authentic life. They are using that shit to fucking advance their own agendas, okay? And it's just like, dog, this is fucking crazy, bro. Like, I don't want to go out like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, this could, you know, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm not saying I'm unique or special. I'm just saying that having been made aware of this, like, I don't want to fucking go out like that, dog. I want to at least question this shit. You know what I mean? And hopefully try to fucking use the knowledge that I gain from questioning this shit to overcome it so that I'm not just this fucking infected zombie running around with all sorts of different parasites acting out through my actions. Like, I want to at least try to be a unique fucking individual. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do what the homie Terrence McKenna asks us, dog, what he fucking tells us, and that is reclaim our mind, dog. Like, reclaim our minds from the fucking cultural programming. You know what I mean? Like, let's just assume, like, you don't even need to think about MK Ultra, dog. You just know that just by virtue of being a human, the whole socialization process, unless you're fucking Tarzan out there being raised by the wolves and shit, or, you know, the apes, whatever the fuck, you're going to be socialized, and that socialization may not be in your best interest. And, you know, you need to, hopefully, ideally, you don't need to do shit. Let's be clear. You don't have to do a motherfucking thing. But I'm saying, like me, people like myself, and I'm assuming you too, because you wouldn't be listening to this fucking podcast, let alone this deep, if you weren't like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want to just be these fucking zombies living out the fucking actions of these parasites that we've been infected with. We want to deprogram. We want to de-MK Ultra ourselves. We want to de-socialize ourselves. Whatever the fuck you want to call it, in an effort to try to live our own fucking authentic life with the one shot that we potentially have to be able to fucking do so, right? And the only way is by truly fucking staying woke, fam. You got to stay woke, right? And maintain this fucking critical attitude towards these fucking parasitic identities that are trying to infect us all, dog. Okay? From all angles, okay? Be it those that come from our families, our teachers, are the communities that we live in, the companies that we work for, fucking advertisers, our own homies, like everywhere, dog. We're constantly under attack. You know what I mean? And the whole point then is by studying this shit is so that we can learn this first and foremost, that we're under attack, but learn how to defend ourselves, right? In hopes of learning ultimately who it is that we want to be, okay? And how to critically evaluate the options available to us. You know what I mean? Like, shout out again to the fucking cholo, dog, who are still playing the part that we were thrown into. Like, you're infected, homie. You're infected. And I hope you get better soon. Like, for reals, I really do. For the sake of the Chicano community, for the sake of humanity as a whole. Because cholos have amazing things to offer the world. But if you're not being critical, if you're not examining the shit you were thrown into and your options available, like, you're not doing no one any favors, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is hustle culture 101 type shit, homie. The understanding that it's not about living someone else's dream, okay? It's about living our dream. Something that isn't fucking possible if we aren't self-reflective and honest with the parasites that we've been infected with. Like, no, dog, this is not gonna be easy. No, by no stretch of the imagination. And honestly, like, fuck, it may not even be worth it. And what I mean by that is the alienation that you're gonna experience or whatnot. Maybe you like being a fucking little cog in the machine and you don't wanna be away from the homies, irrespective of how, you know, draining it is of your energy and how it's robbing us of our one shot at life. You know what I'm saying? To be authentic. Maybe that's not for you. That's fine, okay? But the alternative, like, if you ask me again, and that is being the mindless parasite driven by others' interests, like, it's just not very appealing. It's actually kind of scary. You know what I'm saying? The idea that we've been reduced, in essence, to fucking nothing more than cattle at the whims of the farmers, if you will, who impregnate us with their bullshit ideas so they can continue to fucking milk us for their profit for the entirety of our lives, and then just fucking discard us as soon as we're of no value, okay? In favor of newer meat, if you will, to replace us. Prison, motherfucking planet, baby, okay? And yeah, that's about as good a time as any to wrap this bitch up. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you didn't, go fuck yourself, okay? Put my heart and soul into that shit, so how the fuck dare you last all the way to the very end just to be like, I didn't like it, fuck you, okay? Anyways, for those of you who did like it, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you next time. Peace.